Well, in a move which has environmentalists reeling, but no doubt has pleased many recreational fishers, the Abbott government has changed the rules inside marine parks. The park boundaries have not moved, but now more fishing will be allowed within them. To explain these proposed changes, I'm joined by the Parliamentary Secretary to the Minister for Agriculture, Richard Colbeck. Senator, thank you for joining us.
Morning, Cameron.
Why the need for these changes?
Well, we had concerns about the way that the process for establishing these marine parks was being conducted all the way through the previous administration. Must put on the record to start with that we're not opposed to marine parks. We, in fact, established the first series of marine parks around the southeast of Australia in 2006-2007. And so it's been an ongoing process that's been occurring for a while. But the process that was undertaken by the previous government was divisive. It didn't provide for proper consultation as we saw it. It had devastating impacts on some people in the fishing sector, commercial in particular, but also recreational. And it wasn't based on science, and that was actually admitted by the minister at the time.
So what will now be allowed within marine parks under your government?
Well, what we're saying is that the status quo, as it currently stands, will remain while we do a scientific review. So we're going to establish a scientific panel that will look at the science under which the current marine parks were based. That will report back to government, obviously. We will establish bioregional panels to undertake a proper consultation process where the science is put on the table. Stakeholders all have the opportunity to have a say. We won't be playing off stakeholder against stakeholder as the previous government did, and we know that that happened because they've told us that that's how it worked. Then we'll set in place marine parks that provide for appropriate protection of the environment, which is what we all believe should occur, but also provide for sensible access for commercial, recreational and Indigenous fishers.
So you'll allow recreational and commercial fishing within marine parks in some areas?
Well, that already occurs.
Yes, but it was planned to stop from July next year.
Well, that's not completely correct. In some areas there are no take zones, that occurs now, but in some parts of marine parks there are areas that are what's called multi-use. Under the IUCN system there are seven classifications, and each of those different classifications permits different use types. So to suggest that in marine parks there is no fishing is not true in the current context. It wouldn't have been true in the context of the marine parks that we've been just been discussing even now, and it won't be in the future. So there are different use types within the boundaries of those marine zones that permit different types of activities.
Senator Richard Colbeck is with me, the Parliamentary Secretary to the Minister of Agriculture, which takes in fisheries as well. David Booth is also with me, Professor of Marine Ecology at UTS. Hi, David.
Hi, how you going?
Good. What do you make of the changes or the decision not to go ahead with the tighter management from July next year?
Well, I think it's fair to say the marine science community is a little bit stunned at that decision, and we are fearful that the process that's been going on since 1998 Howard government and has had over 750,000 submissions and we understand over 300 stakeholder meetings might be white-handed. Now, obviously, the more consultation, the better and all that sort of stuff, but, the subject of the science behind marine parks has had numerous scientific panel meetings which have stalled progress for many, many years. And the jury's in, and it has been for a long time. Marine parks, and not just marine parks, no-take areas where there is no fishing, are the critical places to conserve marine life. And so they are being put on hold, and hopefully this process will have some positive outcomes. But we're very concerned with another two-year delay in what is a no-brainer to most marine scientists with lots of evidence.
What's important about no-take zones? Why should we have them?
Well, no-take zones have been proven, and some of the best science in the world has been done in Australia, to not only enhance biodiversity within by preventing access to exploitation, but also to have benefits to the adjacent areas. And some recent studies in Queensland showed quite clearly that the spillover effect of the young babies that are being produced in no-take areas, which would not have been produced outside in the fished areas, are enhancing fisheries. So it's a win-win situation. You lose a little bit of ground for fishing, but the big advantage advantage is you also gain through the extra productivity. So we see no reason to hold back on proclaiming these no-take areas.
So you would have liked to see the proposed management plan from July next year go ahead, would you? Proceed as was?
Oh, yes. It certainly wasn't a divisive process at all. There was a huge consultation and huge drawback, conservation groups wanting this and whatever, and there was some compromises made to make sure that fishing become a viable industry or stays a viable industry. And in fact, the ABARE figures for next year show fisheries will expand about 6%. So it's not on the skids, and it's also been shown that that marine parks probably have a 1% effect on fisheries production. So it's a minor thing.
Senator Colbeck, there's a couple of issues there. There's the issue of the consultation and the science. Let's deal with the science first. Do you accept what David Booth says there, that the science is in and it can be proven that no-take zones are important and beneficial to fisheries?
Beneficial to some fisheries, but not to all fisheries. For a pelagic fishery, for example, tuna, mackerel, things of that nature, they're not of much benefit at all unless you might have perhaps a seasonal closure on a spawning ground. Those sorts of closures already exist within our fisheries management. So there's a lot of discussion around the science, so-called science around marine parks. I would say that the spillover effect is not uncontested. There are quite a few very eminent marine scientists who I've had contact with who will question the spillover effect. But we're not saying we don't want marine parks, never said that. That's not been part of the discussion. And I would dispute the nature of the consultation that it wasn't divisive, because it certainly was. For example, a fisher that I know in Western Australia who went through the initial stages of the process, the areas for further assessment weren't impacting on their fishery. When the draft boundaries were proclaimed, 90% of their fishery was taken up in no-take marine zones. They couldn't even get out of port without travelling through one. So the consultation process wasn't, as David's suggesting,
Just because they didn't like the outcome doesn't mean it wasn't a comprehensive consultation process. 750,000 submissions and 300 meetings.
Well, when you talk about the submissions and the number of submissions, the vast majority of those were form submissions generated by organisations like the Pew Foundation out of the United States. So I completely dispute the weight of submission, because most of those didn't come from Australia. So let's make that very, very plain. We want to see strong protection and support for our marine environment. A healthy ocean is absolutely essential to a healthy fishery nationally. And David did mention the ABARE's Fish Stocks Report. And that's a very, very important document that we publish nationally every year that looks at the fish stocks, the health of our fisheries, and that's shown continued improvement over a number of years. Large-scale no-take marine parks, in my view, are effectively the choice of last resort where you don't have strong fisheries management. We have very, very good fisheries management in Australia. We continue to invest in the science around that, and I made some announcement about that earlier this week. So that we can maintain high levels of biodiversity in our marine environment. It's absolutely vital that we do so that our fisheries stay healthy. But just locking us, the industry and people out of huge swathes of the ocean isn't necessarily going to deal with that. And you've only got to look at the circumstance of the Great Barrier Reef, where the real threats to the Great Barrier Reef are not anything to do with fishing. They're to do with a whole range of other issues, and a lot of it comes from the terrestrial environment. So it's runoff and a whole range of things like that. So
some might say it might be the development of big ports at places like Abbott Point.
Well, I think that was the point that I just made. It's coming from the terrestrial environment. It's not coming from the marine environment. So the issue around this needs to be looked on a risk management basis. We have some real concerns around the gear assessments that were done as part of the development. Okay. Of the last planning process, and so we want to have a good look at all of those things so that we can make sure that we do maintain a very healthy marine environment. As I said, we can't have a healthy fishery unless we have a healthy marine environment. The two go hand in hand, and they're both very important.
Okay, if I can come back to David Booth from the University of Technology in Sydney. David, there's going to be an expert scientific panel to reassess the situation. Would you be happy to go along with the findings of that expert panel?
Most certainly, but I should back up because Senator Colbeck had quite a bit to say there. One of the things that's erroneously pointed out quite often, and he's obviously getting advice from fishery scientists in this case, is that we have the world's best managed fishery and that's just as good as a no-take area. Well, that's just absolutely untrue.
Well, that's not what I said.
We have a very good fisheries management, but it's not the same. In a marine park, we have lack of fishing in no-take areas. Now, those no-take areas can then maybe return to something like the natural state. When we have a well-managed fishery, we've often fished the fish down to 10% of their virgin biomass. So they may still be sustainable and maybe producing a livelihood for the fishers, but they're nowhere near their original numbers. And they're often top predators that can really affect the community. So no matter how much we manage our fishery well, it's still an exploitative environment. We need these areas where natural situations can occur, and that is
the
no-take
area. David, for you, is a marine park about making sure a fishery is sustainable, or is it also about preserving biodiversity?
Well, I think it's first and foremost about preserving biodiversity, as it well should be, as national parks on land have been recognised to be for over 200 years in Australia nearly. And so for some reason in the marine environment, we have this idea that they're mainly about getting a better livelihood for the fishers. Now, in my opinion, we need to look after that. We need to enhance it as much as possible, but not at the exclusion of biodiversity protection. And it's well known that fisheries fish down major stocks and affect biodiversity.
So do you think that fishing, recreational and commercial fishing, can coexist with marine parks?
I think it can, so long as there are healthy no-take areas within them that occupy at least 20% of the parks, at least 20%, so that you can get the replenishment required inside those no-take areas.
Senator Colbeck, the makeup of the expert panel, what will be the criteria for that?
Well, that's currently being developed through the Department of Environment at the moment, so that's being managed by my colleague Greg Hunt, who's the Minister for the Environment. And can I say, I would agree with David that marine parks are firstly and foremostly about biodiversity. Mm-hmm. I would agree with him wholeheartedly on that. They're not about fisheries management. I agree with him on that too. And that has to be a very, very important premise in relation to this. I would say, though, that within our fisheries management, we also have no-take zones within and spatial closures within our fisheries management system to deal with some of those issues. And if you look at the way, and I didn't say we had the best fisheries management in the world, but we do have and are globally recognised to have amongst the best fisheries management in the world, and we continue to improve that. And part of that, the way that we allow access to that to the fisheries resource or to those fish biomass is to take into account environmental requirements. So in the circumstances where, and I don't know of one where we fish it down to 10%, in fact,
there are a number, including flathead and especially orange roughy and things like that.
That fishery was overfished and it wasn't deliberately fished down to 10%. I mean, that's a complete misrepresentation.
It's well known that the virgin biomass of a lot of these commercial species has been fished down to about 10% of the original virgin biomass of last century.
I would invite you to go back and read the harvest strategies around these, which put into place a process where we allow for a range of different elements to and a maximum fish down. Look at mackerel, for example, where the maximum fish down is to 80% of virgin biomass, of spawning biomass. And that's a really important...
Nice, all right, gentlemen, look,
we'll do... Biodiversity protection. I mean, it's a good idea for sustainable fishing, but that's different from biodiversity protection.
Gentlemen, I'd like to debate this down the track, but we'll have to leave it there. Thank you. Today we'll take this discussion up again in 2014, but nice to get your thoughts today. David Booth is Professor of Marine Ecology at the University of Technology, Sydney, and Senator Richard Colbeck is the Parliamentary Secretary for the Minister for Agriculture. You're listening to Bush Telly on RN.